Okay, Shalom Uvracha to all. Welcome back to the From the Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefillah. We are learning as always the Zecher Nishmasa, the Ilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha HaShalom. The Neshama should be an advocate of Tova for the whole family, for Besoros Tovas and Simchas, all in good health to enjoy. And we continue to thank the Fron family very much for their commitment to these Devei Torah, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha HaShalom. Amen v'amen. So we are in the chapter 25, 26, 27, towards the end of the Sefer. It's called Proper and Improper Motives. So what I'm going to do is just recap where we are up to, where we're holding since it was Purim and Adar. Last week, Mishir, I wasn't able to present. We had different topics. So I'm just going to go back so we all know where we're up to in the Sefer. Okay, I'm going to try, Billy Nader, to go through the first couple of pages quickly that we already ran through so we can get to new material, but just so we're on the same page, pun is intended. Contemplating each ratzon. So when a Jew does anything in Avodas Hashem, I have to contemplate, why am I doing this? What part of me motivates me to want to do this aspect of my life? As we have described the topology of the human personality, the Sefer says, and there are three layers in the human personality. The innermost layer, or the force, is Hashem's will. So inside of all of us, and sometimes it's embedded deep below, and sometimes it's hard to access, but there is the Ratzon Hashem, which lies inside of each one of us, and that's referred to in the Sfarim HaKadoshim as the point of the Shechina, the Nekudas HaShechina, and that rests in the Neshama of every person. So we have a Nekudas HaShechina that is the purest, the holiest, the most untainted, absolute perfection that lays within the neshama, and that is because it is the chelek olkayim imal. So of course it is perfection, capital P. It is untainted. It is tamim tiyam, mashem elokecha. That's the innermost will. The layer covering that inner will of the eye is our will is to do your will. So this is the layer that covers the inner will, and it is said that our will ritzoneinu laso ritzoncha. But then the third, and so in other words, the first layer is totally what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is the Shechina, is the Nekudas HaShechina. Above that is the layer of the Yetzer HaTov. I want to do what you want me to do, Hashem. So do you want me to eat this food? Parsha Shmini. Ma'achal Sasuras and Ma'achal Smutoras. Do you want me to eat this fish? It doesn't have fins or scales. Do you want me to eat this animal? It doesn't have completely split hooves and it doesn't chew its cud. Do I have a Masorah to eat this bird or not eat this bird? Is this your will? Do you want me to bring this offering to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or not? So then we, at the top, the middle layer, above Hashem's, above the neshama, which is the Nekudas HaShechina, is Ritzoneinu La'asot Ritzoncha. I act according to what Hashem wants me to do. The third and animus layer is the I. And that often chooses to do the opposite of Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's will, Chas V'Sham. And that is referred to as the Nefesh HaBehamis, the animal soul, and the Yetzer Hara. So the truth is, inside every Jewish neshama, there's only one will, and that is to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is to be one with Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad. We want Achdus, we want unity. We want not oneness with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the neshama wants to connect with its source. The problem is that we are all ensconced in an outer layer of the Nefesh HaBehamis, the animalistic soul, the outermost part, and that corresponds to the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara says, you know, maybe you should eat it even though Hashem doesn't really want you to. Maybe you should, even though it's not really Ratzon Hashem. And that is a very, very strong desire that we all have to contend with and we all have to face. Rabbi Zavlev says this Shabbos is the fourth of the Arba Parshios. So we have four Parshios, two before Purim, special Parshios in the year, two before Purim, and two before Pasach. What are these Arba Parshios? We begin with Parsha Shkalim. Excuse me. We begin with Parsha Shkalim, which corresponds to Rosh Chodesh Adar. Parshas Shkalim, which corresponds to Rosh Chodesh Adar, it's from Parshas Ki Tisa, Perek Lamed, the Bnei Yisrael were commanded, oy vevoy, we'll see, hopefully I don't need to go to Gawadar. The Bnei Yisrael were commanded to bring a machatzis hasheka, and during temple times, every person was commanded, every male was commanded to bring a machatzis hasheka. It was due on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, actually, now. It was due on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What was it used for? To purchase the communal karbanos, the communal sacrifices for that year. Why do we read it to correspond with Rosh Chodesh Adar if it was due on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So it's very, very practical, because just because the people heard the announcement doesn't mean that they brought it all the time. Takes people time to pay their taxes, takes people time to pay their obligations. So we start to announce it by Rosh Chodesh Adar, by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, everybody should pay the annual due, the annual Beis HaMikdash tax in order to, annual Beis HaMikdash contribution, in order to buy the communal sacrifices. That is Parshas Shkalim, corresponding to Rosh Chodesh Adar. Of course, then comes Parshas Zachar from Devarim Chav Hei, Yud Zayin through Yud Tesh. Remember what Amalek did to you before we come to Purim. We read Parshas Zachar. Before we come to Nisan, we read Parshas Paratz from Parshas Chukas Perek Yutes. It's about the laws of the red heifer. The totally red cow, kind of more than two black hairs, that was burned, and the ashes were used as part of the purification process for someone who was Tameh the Meis. Why do we read this before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is just this past Shabbos? Why? Because in Temple times, on Pesach, before Pesach, Avon has to be Olo L'Rega. Avon has to go up to Yerushalayim, up to Temple Mount, bring the Korban Pesach. Someone who is Tameh the Meis is not allowed to go there. Someone who is ritually impure from contact with the corpse. So we started to announce, even before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if you are a person who is Tameh the Meis and he was not undergone the purification process, you need to undergo the purification process now. You're not going to be ritually pure. You will not be tar in order to come up to be Olo L'Rega to celebrate Chag HaPesach and the Korban Pesach. So we announce it in advance to give the person time to undergo the purification process. And this coming week's Parsha is Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is from Parshas Bo, Parak Yud Beis Psukim Aleph through Chaf in Sefer Shmos. It deals with the topic of Rosh Chodesh, and the vast majority of the sugya deals with the Korban Pesach. So why did I bring this up? I know exactly why I brought it up, because Rabbi Zavra darshins in a homiletic sense. The four Parshas are Shkalim, Zachar, Amalek, Para, and HaChodesh. Rabbi Zavlev says so beautifully, Shkalim teaches us that we must dedicate all our material goods to Hashem. Meaning, Hashem gives us things in Ruchnius, we have to use them for mitzvahs. So we use our Gashmius to buy matzah. We use our Gashmius to buy lulav and an esrog. We use our Gashmius to support a yeshiva, to tend our children to yeshivas, to support Torah, to give tzedakah, to buy kosher food. Shkalim is about taking your material wealth and using it to support Torah and to do mitzvos, making it ruchnias. Parsha Zachar teaches us about the Amalek within. That every person must battle. What's the word? Insidious? Am I saying it right? Insidious? Yeah? The insidious enemy that dwells within. Parsha Zachar teaches us that first of all, yes, Parsha Shkalim, we have to dedicate our material wealth to service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parsha Zachar teaches us a Jew must always be on guard. He is always battling the Yetzer Hara. B'chol yom v'yom, Sukkah 52b, B'chol yom v'yom, Mitzvah she'adam miskaber lo, V'yomale HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ozer lo, einu yachal lo. Each and every day, the Yetzer Hara strives, attempts, desires to overcome us. Because Hashem takes us to the path we want to go. If a person seriously strives to overcome the Yetzer Hara, all the time Messiah and Esau, Hashem will help him. So every day the Yetzer Hara is a new battle. That's Parshas Zachar in the homiletic sense. Shkalim, dedicate your material goods to Ruchnias, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, Mitzvot, Tzedakah. Zachar, fight the Amalek within the Yetzer Hara. Para, now you're ready for spiritual purification. HaChodesh, now you're a new person. You're Adam Chadash, and when you're an Adam Chadash, after you undergo these stages, then you'll really be ready for Gula Mitzrayim, and be ready for Matan Torah, which follows 7 weeks later. So this is really all preparation for Matan Torah. Dedicate everything. We have to understand that everything Gashmius we have is a gift from Hashem that we need to give back to Him, so to speak. We must always be on guard to fight the Yetzer Hara. We must undergo processes by which we undergo Tahara, purification. That's, of course, by being involved in Torah learning and in tzedakah and in mitzvos. The more we immerse ourselves in Torah, the purer we become. Then a chodesh, we're a new person. And then when you're a new person, you're ready for Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the Gula. And then you will count 49 days and you'll be able to stay closer to the Nasav Nishma. Why did I think about that? Because the Mechaber is saying that the outer layer is the layer of the Yetzer Hara, which we must always fight against. And you see that part of the process of purification to prepare for Yetziyah Mitzrayim and then to prepare for Matan Torah is the awareness that the outer layer is not a Kosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. The outer layers are Nefesh HaBehamis and the Yetzer Hara. And that is the battle of Amalek in a non-literal sense. Literally, it means a Charsar Shalach Amalek, yes. But in a non-literal sense, it's talking about the evil forces within all of us. When we're weak and weary in our Avodah Hashem, when we're tired and worn out, that's the biggest in for the Yetzer Hara. He comes and he says, you're so tired anyway, don't bother with the mitzvahs, don't bother with the shir, don't bother making yourself into a better person, don't bother fighting with me. Wouldn't it be much easier, says the Yetzer Hara, to just give in? That is the outer layer. In every area that one confronts, says the Mechaber, the author, these three forces either want to do an act or they want to avoid an act. So whatever you do is going to involve these three layers. The Neshama, the Nekudas Hashchina, the second layer, my will is to do your will. Why is that the second layer? Because I still have a will. Ritzoneinu l'asor ritzoncha means I still have a ratzon. The third layer, of course, is Yetzer Hara. the Nefesh HaBeamis, the Sitra Achra, the other side, the evil forces that want to make us avoid Avodas Hashem. Not only avoid Avodas Hashem, go contrary to Avodas Hashem. All of our work with Midos depends on contemplating and becoming intimately familiar with these forces. Me'ariv Tikkun HaMidos is one of the most difficult realms of Avodas Hashem. In every Midah and every aspect of Avoda that you want to improve, you must first discover the factors that are influencing and motivating you. It's very interesting. Someone reached out to me. She was listening to a different Shir, the Shmiras Halashon Shir. And she said how much chizik it gave her. She did this in online, Hawaii Torah. And she reached out to me and she said she had a certain meeting in a certain venue for someone in her family. And she said she already tried the screaming and shouting route and it didn't work. And she listened to that Shir and she said she really feels she's not getting anywhere. She's having a lot of frustration. I have no idea what the meeting was about. She didn't tell me. That's not the point. The point is that she said, we spoke about in the Shir, how a person has a number of words in their lifetime, how we have to measure a word. And she said she really internalized it and she was going to try Be'ezer Hashem a different approach. Such godless. It's mamish godless to internalize what we're learning and apply to our lives, to undergo a real purification through Tikkun HaMidos, to really battle the Yetzer Hara. It's very nice to come to Shir and to listen and say, okay, it was intellectually stimulating. I'm a Bilam, but I'm back to exactly being who Bilam was before. Yasha Bilam Limkomo. Really, the donkey's tongue, because Baruch Hu is right in front of you, and you just go back to being who you were before. But to understand and to identify the layers of ourselves and to recognize that not everything I do, and this applies to every single one of us, is not always Ratzon Hashem. And then to say, how can I change this? How can I work on my midos? How can I implement this to be more in touch with Ratzonei Lassor Ratzoncha? And then ultimately to work enough to be in touch with the Nefesh Hashchina, the Nekudas Hashchina within. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. We have to all try to internalize what we learn, not just to learn because it's nicely intellectually stimulating, to change who we are as individuals, to change who I am as a person, as an Eved Hashem, as a Bas Yisrael. All of our work with Midos depends on contemplating and becoming intimately familiar with these forces. In every Midah and in every aspect of Avoda you want to improve, you must first discover the factors that are influencing and motivating you. Because if you don't know what the factors that are influencing you are, you can't stay away from them. Or if they're positive, you have to know that they're positive, so you increase being in that environment even more. We will now take the attribute of anger, the midah of anger, as an example discussing. The midah of anger, we've said before, the Rambam says when it comes to kas and gaiva, a person must stay far, far away. There's never any room for anger, and there's never any room for haughtiness. If you get angry, your avodah is to contemplate, usually after the event, because at the time the anger is strong and you will not have much control. Adam nikar bekiso bekaso ubekoso. A person is recognized bekiso, oh, through his pocket. That really ties into what Rabbi Zevla says on Shkalev. How we deal with money. Do I channel my material goods to Sora Kosh Baruch Hu bekiso bekaso? Is he noach lichos? Bekasha lirtzos? It's a rasha. Quick to anger and difficult to appease. Bekiso, bekaso, bekoso. We just had Purim. Victor Miller actually was just talking about Purim and in the back of the conscious was on getting drunk on Purim and how a person has to behave. So bekoso, how do we behave when we're under the influence of wine? From which ratzon did the anger come? You should ask yourself. I think it's pretty fair to say that the anger came from the Sitra Acha, the Yetzer Hara, the Amalek that dwells on the surface of these three layers, and the Nefesh HaBehamis. Did it come from the inner eye? I can't imagine. If it's the inner eye is Ritzonei Laso Ritzorcha, how could it come from the inner eye? Hashem does not want that from us. Or perhaps it's just the outermost eye that chose the anger. Of course, you must work gradually, but we will speak of the goal. You now must consider every detail of your life. Torah. Lima Torah. Tefillah. Good deeds. Eating, neutral manners. And you examine each act, and you should ask yourself, is this action positive or negative? The way we eat can be either positive or negative. You can eat like a person, and you could eat like a Nefesh HaBe'amis. The Ramban speaks about the Kedoshim to you. Kedoshim, we're already in Sefer Vayikra. We're not so fresh. We need to see what's Rechem as Kedoshim a little bit. So how much wine does a person drink, says the Rambam? How much meat does he eat? You could either be eating L'shem Shemayim, wine and meat, or coming up to Yom Tov, Ein Simcha Ala Babasra, Ein Simcha Ala B'yayin, or you could be eating like an animal, the Ramban says. So we have to ask ourselves, even when it comes to the table, is this Ratzon Hashem? You examine each act. Is it positive or negative? That is to say, who wants to do this, meaning which layer of myself, and who does not? This exercise will afford you great clarity in life. I think this is very important. He's not saying you're not up to the point where you're even necessarily going to squelch that desire, but at least you recognize where it's coming from. There's a self-awareness in your actions. Now, if it's eating, it's one thing. If you're taking it out on somebody else, you need to figure out very, very quickly. An example gave on Kash, you need to figure out very, very quickly how to change your midos, because it's like ritzicha, sometimes anger. Chas v'shalom lo'aleinu, we should never be on the giving or on the receiving, and God forbid. If it's something that's just between you and yourself and Kosh Baruch Hu, it's one thing. But if it's between you and yourself and another person and a Kosh Baruch Hu, so you can't say, now I'm going to start analyzing, now I'm going to start examining. You have to be self-aware, and you have to quickly figure out how to help yourself, to remove yourself from a situation, whatever it is. Hashem, if this is a test, I'm going to pass, I'm going to get 100. You could think about the Olam Hadin. You could think about the Olam HaEmes. You could think about what they're going to ask you to the Shiva Shamala. It's just what you want playing on the screen. Whatever works for you. Just figure out something quickly to fix your midos be'adam mechaveir. Again, if it's just between you and you and you're eating three pieces of cake and maybe you should be eating one small, so that's a different story. It's not good, it's not healthy, you need to work on it, but it's not as an emergency unless you're a person with diabetes or high blood pressure. I don't know, you're not supposed to be eating it all chas v'shalom. But I'm talking about bedarach kla. Okay, so that's between you and you. I don't know, a person watches something that they shouldn't be watching. It's not appropriate. So it's not so very good for your neshama. I don't know what's going to happen upstairs. I have no idea. We know that certain things that people watch are totally contrary to Torah. They are. It's a fact. But when my negative midos, my outer layer of the Yetzer Hara, the Nefesh HaMis, and the Sitra Achra affect somebody else, so now I have to figure out. Now it's like SOS. Now it's like spiritually call Hatzalah. Figure out how to save yourself. Actually, I didn't think about what I was preparing or I would have brought up. And Mamish ties in exactly to this week's parsha, the Rambar Oy. If I knew exactly which pasuk the Ramban was, I would go get it quickly, but I don't. But the Ramban, it's Perikid Aleph. Parsha Shmini talks about an oaf do race. When it comes to animals, sphins and, no, totally split hooves and chews are cut. When it comes to fish, na pir v'kaskasas, excuse me, fins and scales. When it comes to birds, these are the birds you may not eat. And we have a mishora of what we can eat, and everything else we don't eat. We are not allowed to eat an oaf do race. You know what that is? A bird with talons. If you ever watch nature documentaries, there's one kind of eagle called a harpy eagle that can take monkeys. It can take baby monkeys like out of their nest in the tree. It's unbelievable. Monkey, a bird, an eagle can fly with a monkey. Why are we not allowed to eat an oaf do race? A clawing bird, a bird with talons. I mean, they're gorgeous, majestic. Eagles, fishing birds, they're incredible. They're not doing anything wrong. That's how Hashem made them. Why are we not allowed to ingest those birds? So the Ramban speaks about it. I don't want to take the time to go downstairs and get the Ramban and find the exact pasuk. But the Ramban speaks about them. It's really, really, really beautiful because it's like hot-blooded. It's something that claws. It's something that tears something else apart. We're not allowed to eat that because a person who ingests such things will himself become that kind of a person. You know the expression, even in English, you are what you eat? Yeah? So if a person eats those things, the Ramban says, they're going to ingest those midos, that lust for blood, that clawing behavior, that tearing apart behavior. And an Eved Hashem can't be like that. An Eved Hashem can't be that kind of person. So you see, everything we do in life affects us. And if a person has those negative qualities against somebody else, so really, it's an emergency situation. It's one thing if you are going to be in trouble for yourself, if I'm going to be in trouble by myself in the Olam HaEmes, but if I cause ritzicha, spiritual, emotional, psychological, God forbid, uchita to somebody else, that's a very big problem. So you need to identify which acts bring you close to Hashem, krav elam mizbech. Moshe told Aaron, perek tes, pasuk zayin. Hashem told Moshe, come close, do your service, serve a Kosh Baruch Hu. Acts that foster closeness to Hashem are acts that stem from the inner will to do Hashem's will, and which acts are harmful. You will also identify the acts that are positive, but perform with the wrong motives. So sometimes a person does the right thing, but with the wrong motives. But for example, what could be an example? A person does a chesed to get a plaque that says you did so much chesed. I don't know, it's a silly example, but they want to hang it up on their wall. I know that doesn't apply to anybody here. I'm just trying to think of an example when you would do the right thing for the wrong motives. I don't know. Okay? You're in the car with somebody who, you know, is very careful about what they listen to. So you don't put on a certain song that you would normally put on if they were in the car. Why? Not because you want to improve your neshama, because of deference to this person. I think that's a better example. So you do something for the wrong motives. Now, lamaisa, you're still doing the correct action. Okay? Or, I don't know, you have a big taiva to not kosher, and you're with a friend who only keeps kosher. So when you pass by the McDonald's, you don't go in to get the food. Not because you don't want the food. You actually just ate it for breakfast, and now you want it for lunch. But because we're with this friend, and you don't want to eat in front of her, therefore you don't go buy the food. So that's another example. That's doing the right thing, but it's certainly not lishma. It's not with the correct motive. Balamaisa, at the end of the day, you're still keeping kosher at that moment. Any area you're trying to improve must be clearly analyzed, both during the time set aside for contemplation. Remember, we're supposed to take a time for contemplation to think about our actions and think about our behavior, and when confronting the issue in daily life. So not only do you need to set aside time for a spodidish, but also in the middle of your daily life, you also need to think about this. It's not a joke. Mam is not a joke. The issue of voda is divided into a number of stages. So we might think, I need more time. Now I need time to set aside for contemplation. Now in the middle there, I need to think about this. Yes, and Avodah Hashem has to be a thoughtful person. I always have to be thinking and contemplating before I speak, before I act, before I eat, before I do, before I present. This avodah that just happened the other day, yesterday. Someone sent me something. And I started to forward it just to my husband. I don't even think it was the category of Lashon Hara, because there are certain categories of people who have removed themselves from the klal. And I don't even know if it was Lashon Hara. I don't think. But I didn't send it. I thought, what's the to'alis in sending this? What is this going to accomplish? I already clicked and saved screenshot, and I was going to send it. And I thought, is there a to'alis to sending this? But then no. So I may take the time to send it. And I deleted it, and I didn't say that. A person needs to be contemplating, Baruch Hashem. A person needs to be contemplating, not only during the times you have for his bodhis for you and Hashem, whether it's during your some point during tefillah, or whether it's during some, when you're driving and you have 2 minutes alone in the car, whatever time you can chap a rein to think, that's when you have to think, but also during the action itself, when confronting the issue in daily life. So you also need to be cognitive and cognizant of why am I doing this, and do I need to do this, and who wants me to do this, and what to Alice is this for? Happened to me, it's again today. That was just yesterday. I was in a certain store today, and I wanted to post something about the store. And then I thought, what is the point of posting this about the store? I'm going to take precious time by my life to say this for what? Is there a to Alice? And I didn't post that. So a person needs to be, we have to daven for tremendous yata dushmaya. Especially today with virtual communication, we're so used to forwarding and posting and quick and sending messages all the time. I need to think, is this something I really need to be doing? Is there a to'alis? Is this what Hashem wants me to do? This avodah is divided into a number of stages. The first stage, as we said, is clarification. You must identify all the ingredients and see who wants and who does not want. So in other words, does Hashem, who wants me to do this? Does Hashem want me to do this? Who does not want me to do this? Or is this a Ma'aseh Yetzer? Hashem does not want me to do this. You also have to try and clarify why. Why do you want to do this? And why does Hashem not want you to do this? But why would I want to forward that to my husband? Because it was a point of interest. It's related to current events. To discuss it with him. That's probably why, I would say. Is it Lashon Hara? I don't think so. But what will I accomplish by sending this? Really nothing. So we'll spend a few minutes discussing it, and we're not going to change the world. And who wants, who does not want, and why? Now, if we could stop and contemplate before every action we do, it could help us very much in our avodas Hashem to be more in touch and more self-aware of why we're acting and how we're acting. The next stage is to daven to Hashem. Tefillah. Tefillah is an integral part of this avodah. Daven that you will do only proper and sincere deeds, not improper. It's just like we daven at the beginning of the Midah Hashem Sefasai Tiftach. We daven to Hashem to open our lips. Salvechik says on that passage, it's from Kapitol Nun Aleph of Tehillim. Salvechik says you need to pray in order to pray. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufiya Gita Secha. You need to pray in order to pray. We need to daven to Hashem to help us do sincere deeds are not insincere ones and not improper ones. So everything we do in life, we have to daven for siyata d'shmaya. The third and the highest stage is to perform each act lishma with pure intent. So in other words, whatever I do, I'm doing it because this is exactly what the Torah wants me to do. This is what exactly the halacha is, and this is exactly what the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not because of what will society say, not because of how my neighbor behaves in shul that I'm acting this way, not because I'm not going to McDonald's because I'm walking with someone else. Rather, lishma, l'shem shamayim. I will only do this deed if it is lishma with pure intent, as well as shelo lishma with ulterior motives. That's a high stage. So now I have to, now he's going to, you'll hear, the next, we're getting up to there, the very next section is on the lishma and lo lishma. Acting l'shem shamayim, and then shelo lishma. I'm keeping kosher because the person next to me is only kosher, so that's lo l'shem shamayim. Parsha Shmini says, so it's a chayish v'tochelu. However, I'm still doing the action. It might not be with the pure motives. So now not only do you have to identify is the deed is Ratzon Hashem or not, if it comes from the Nekudas HaShechina within, or is it from the Sitra Acha on the external layer, but now I also have to identify, finally, am I doing this L'Shem Shem because of Kosh Baruch Hu said, period, or for some other reason such as an ulterior motive. Of course, each Jew should strive to live only for Kosh Baruch Hu. But we must take one step at a time and not attempt large leaps. So that's true about anything in improving, whether it's physical health or spiritual health. Drastic steps are never good. Drastic swinging between behaviors is not lasting. The way Hashem created a human being is that things occur in stages. And when a person wants to change, you could have the best, purest motives. You want to be a Robertson Kanievsky, it's gewaldic. But I'm not going to go from being where I am today to being where she was tomorrow. And if someone thinks that is, and that's not totally not realistic, it's a form of mental insanity, excuse me. Unless, I don't know, someone's in a via or a yachid b'chol ador. Lamaisa, that's not possible. So a person has to recognize where I am now, set a goal of where I want to be, and in small increments, as long as you're always moving forward. As long as I'm moving forward, even if it's in small increments, Shir 7:2. The steps that we take to be Ola L'Regel are so precious to Hashem. It's possible from Shir Shirim, how precious are your footsteps and your sandals, the daughter of a princess. And the Gemara says that that pasuk is referring to those who are Ola L'Regel. So in 2 weeks, we're all going to be Ola L'Regel up to the rebuilt, redeemed, peaceful Yerushalayim, the city of Shalom. How beautiful are your footsteps and your sandals? Magamara says that that is a daughter of a princess, and that is referring to daughter of a prince, and that is referring to those who are Ola L'Regel. Now, how were you Ola L'Regel? Let's say you lived all the way in the north or all the way in the south. Could take up to 2 weeks to get to the Beit HaMikdash. They then fly there step by step, sandal after sandal, wagon wheel after wagon wheel. When you go to be Ola in Avodas Hashem, when you go to be a Ben Abbas Aliyah and rise yourself higher, you can't go from 0 to 1,000 in the blink of an eye. It's just unrealistic, and it will set yourself up for failure slowly. It's years of avodah. Years. A whole lifetime of Torah. But it's the hazmana for the Olam HaEmes. It's to return our neshamas after 120 to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as pure as He gave them to us. We cannot suddenly switch from shelo lishma to lishma. And therefore, says the author, you can't suddenly change from ulterior motives, absolutely pure motives. Yesterday, I was only keeping kosher because it's socially correct. Today, I'm keeping kosher because I learned Parsha Shmini. That's the only reason I'm keeping kosher. Now, for some people, one is true and the other is true. But to go from one to the other in the blink of an eye, it's not realistic. A person needs to immerse themselves in the Yam HaTorah in order to go from one to the other and shape your whole life. As a person who views everything that happens through the lens of Avodas Hashem. As mentioned before, one cannot jump from the world of evil into the world of good. You can go from the world of evil into the world of good, but not in one quick jump. One must go through the entire process. What does that mean? It means a lifetime of working. That is to say, after you engage in contemplation and tefillah for an extended period of time, you should start adding lishma to the shelo lishma in each act. So tell yourself, let's say we're going back to that kashrus example, the person who's not going into McDonald's where they serve chazir, which is totally usher because the chazir has the split hooves completely, but that's not true. It's called the chazir. It's famous because it sticks out. It's the only animal that the other animals, the camel, the hyrax, that the Torah lists, Ba'arnevas, they chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves. Not the camel. They chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves. The pig is Yachid. He has split hooves, but he does not chew his cud. Everyone knows this. It's very famous. The pig is the essence of Tumah because he wants to make himself look kosher. He sticks out his hooves as if to say, look at me, I'm kosher. Everyone could see. The hidden sign he doesn't have. The other animals are more tsanua. The pig sticks out his hooves saying, I am kosher. This is the epitome of hypocrisy. He tells the whole world he's righteous. Look how pure I am. Meanwhile, he's rotten to the core. When we look on the world stage today, Rechman al-Aslan, and different matzavim in the world today, we see this. The Rishayim, who stick out their split hooves, were so holy, were so wonderful, were the champions of justice. And really what they are is rotten to their very core. So a person has to identify, let's say that person who's not eating kosher because it's socially acceptable. That's very nice. Listen, the bottom line is they're still eating kosher. They are eating kosher. They're not eating the chazer treif. It's gevaldik. They're not tainting their neshamos, their inner selves, with the influences of the basar asur, the of the race, the fish that does not have fins and scales. So they are accomplishing something tremendous, but it's still shalom lishma. A higher level of this is, this is exactly what Hashem wants. I don't care what my neighbor's eating. I don't care what my neighbor says. I don't care what anybody else does. This is Ratzon Hashem. After you engage in contemplation and tefillah for an extended period of time, you should start adding lishma to the shalom lishma in each act. Again, slowly. And even if you don't believe it, still say it. Me'amanti ki adaber. I have emunah because I speak about it. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. Heni. The more we speak about something, the more emunah I'm going to have. Oh, right now I don't totally believe it. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. Hashem Mashiach is coming tomorrow. I don't mean this to sound like a heretical statement. Do I really believe that I could wake up in the morning and Mashiach could be here tomorrow? I'm just asking you that question. Like, do you actually think you're going to wake up in the morning and Mashiach is going to be here? That's a very high mandriga. Benisa nigal, benisa nasidi nigal. Could Mashiach come in 2 weeks? 100%. Do I mamish think I wake up in the morning and the news is going to be totally different than it's been for the past 180 days? Mashiach's here. I don't know. But make the lo lishma, make the shalom lishma into lishma. Start to work on it slowly. Say it even if you don't totally believe it. I believe with perfect faith that I'm going to wake up in the morning, Mashiach is going to be here. Maybe you really do believe that. The Chavetz Chaim lived on such a level. He did. But we need to start adding a Lishma element to the Shalom Lishma. Aval Pisha Yisma Meya, he's taking a very, very, very long time. Guess what? We're in a new section. Masal Tav. Page 276. It's called Strength. Are you excited? Yes. I didn't do this to get a badge, but I'm excited. We're in a new section. Baruch Hashem. I get a star. A star. Yay. Strengthening the Lishma element. Who cares what the next chapter is? It's not the next chapter. It's a subheading in the chapter, but we made it. I should have put the date when we started contemplating each Ratzon. I'm really just making a joke. I'm making fun of myself. It's all Torah. I get 2 stars. Thank you. Is that out of 5 or out of 2? I'm really just making a joke because we're learning Torah the whole time. I'm just excited that we're starting a new chapter. We're not starting a new chapter. We're starting a new section in the chapter. It is called Strengthening the Lishma Element. So this is something we have to work on because so often in society, we do things because of what society will say. Of what our neighbors will say, of what the Shidduch Razumi will say, what will my Rav say, whatever. What is the neighbor doing? We do things, it's human nature. Maybe I should say it's the outer layer nature, not human nature. We're now learning that human nature is made up of 3 different layers. The inside is the Nekudas HaShchina. The next layer is Ritzoneni Laso Ritzoncha. And the next layer is the Sitra Achor. So I'm not sure what human nature is. I guess it depends who you are, what your human nature is. But it's not always easy to do our actions totally the Shem Shemayim. Whether we want accolades, or to fit in, or to conform, or what will people say. Lishma is one reason that I'm doing this. Lishem Shamayim. Hashem said, it's the only thing I want to do. Not because I care about anything else anyone else will say. By the way, your reputation is not your own. V'isim nikim mi'asham b'Yisrael. Person has to be very, very careful to behave in a way that's mekadei shem shemayim. So I don't mean you should say, please don't misunderstand. I don't care what anyone says. And then you should go to the bar on Friday night and get drunk with the people on the bar Friday night and listen to music and come back to your neighborhood and let everyone know where you were because you don't care what people say. That's not what I mean. I don't think anyone thinks that, but disclaimer in case you did. Clarification. However, we have to start adding a lishma element to the positive things we do. So when we're doing mitzvos, we shouldn't only do them because of the influences of family or society or community or whatever else, or your child's school or whatever else. Rather, this is what Hashem wants. Am I living as a yid who is fulfilling ratzon Hashem, negating my will? Not I have a will, but ratzoneinu means I have a will. Negating my will to do what you want, Hashem. We'll provide some examples to bring this principle to life, but there is one idea here. I started. That's the first sentence in the new chat, in the new section. You cannot transition quickly from shalo lishma to lishma. So he already said that. And it's a process. Rather, you transition from pure shalo lishma, pure shalo lishma. God, I'm not doing this for you at all. I'm totally doing this because I live a life of social Judaism. I totally want to fit in with everyone else around me. What will happen to the kid shaykh? So therefore, I'm doing this totally shalom lishma. That's mamish what it says. You must transition from from pure shalom lishma. That's quite drastic. I don't think any of us act purely shalom lishma. I think that's drastic. I think that anyone who's involved in a life of kviyas in Torah is not acting pure shalom lishma. Do we have a yitzhar ha? Of course. Yes. Are my actions purely shalom lishma? That to me sounds a little bit harsh. I'm not trying to be done myself with kavzchus, but also all of us. I think that we behave in ways that are a mix. I don't think we behave with pure shalom lishma. Anyway, going back to the Sefer, since we've been going through everything he says, we're going to do this also. Rather, you should transition from pure shalom lishma. I mean, I don't know. Do you agree with me? Do you think we act purely shalom lishma? The people I could see. Right. So, okay, thank you. A person like that wouldn't be learning the Sefer, right? So I think we just need to give ourselves, I don't know if it's 5 stars, a little bit more credit and a little bit more positivity in our Avodas Hashem, even though there's Schar and there's Onesh, there's Olam Haba, and there's Gehenem, Chalila, Lo Aleinu. But I don't think any of us as, and I think you're right, I don't think we would be involved in this Chabura if we were acting purely Shalom Lishma. Torah Yid wants to serve Hashem because they want to serve Hashem. Do we have a Yetzirah that gets in the way? Absolutely, or we wouldn't be human beings. But you need to transition, says the Mechaber, from pure Shalom Lishma, from a mixture of Shalom Lishma and Lishma, which is probably how most of us act on a regular basis. For example, you may be sitting, you know what the first example is? Quote, you may be sitting down to learn Torah. That's literally what it says. Page 276. For example, you may be sitting down to learn Torah. So you should begin by clarifying your desire to learn. Why do you have a desire to learn? There may be an outer will not to learn because it is hard to exert the mind. I have to say, I think that this is, he's speaking to men. I need to clarify something. I think that the Sefer is in for, and he's speaking to men. And perhaps he's talking about a Seder of Kaviyash in Torah or a Sadzman of learning, overcoming an outer will of not steiging and not being a masmid, I think. I think for all of us who come to Shir, we're here because we want to be here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. My brother, Rabbi Dov Fried, said to me quite a number of years ago, he's a very, very beloved elementary school teacher and a master Rabbi, but he said that a school teacher teaches people who have to be there. Right? He said to me, you teach people who want to be there. Children are in school, even if they love their teacher and their BIM, they're there because they have to be there. Whereas all of us are here, why? Because we want to be here, because we want to improve our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I think that this example that he's saying is speaking to men who have a Seder and a Kavias and immerse themselves in a life of Torah, Baruch Hashem, which holds up our nation. And they maybe have to, I don't know, I'm not in that position. But I don't think, again, I don't think this is related to us. Because if you didn't want to be here, you just wouldn't be here. But there's no school bus waiting for you outside saying you have to get on the bus and you have to go. Begin clarifying your desire to learn. There may be an outer will not to learn because it's hard to exert the mind. There certainly is an inner will to learn because that is what Hashem wants. And then, depending on the requirements of the halacha. And the inner eye feels, what does the inner eye feel? Our will is to do your will. So he's using a very strong example that even when it comes to limud Torah, kihu chayecha v'orachemecha, okay, mechayinu v'orachemenu v'hem ne'ga yomam v'layla, even when it comes to learning Torah, it may be that the motive is not so pure. I don't know, so let's use a different example. All your friends are going to a shir. So they say, why don't you come to the shir? Be involved. It's a cool thing to do. And this maybe could be applied to us. And you don't really want to go to the shir because, whatever, you'd rather be doing something else. But since everyone's going and you don't want to be left out, so you go along. I think that's a good example. That works. So your intention in that case was shalom lishma. You don't really want to be there. You'd rather be, I don't know, doing 100 other things. Shopping, talking on the phone, I don't know. But since you're close chabura, they're all going, you decide to go also. You cannot say that that is intention of lishma. That's so you fit in and you're not left out. Halavai, we should all have friends who are giving us those choices and that's what we do. But then you could see how it could apply to us. So then what we need to do is the next time you go to shir, we need to make it a little bit, even if it's still shalom lishma, you have to add in some of the lishma. Why am I doing this? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us this Torah. It's the blueprint for this world. He is the architect over my life. The only way I can survive Olam Hazeh is to immerse myself in Torah. And this is what Hashem wants from me. If Hashem wants this from me, then this is what I want. Make it a little bit more lishma. But maybe even saying surviving this world is a little bit low lishma. Lishma is this is Ratzon Hashem. If this is Ratzon Hashem, then this is my Ratzon. That's the only thing I want. If you have decided to learn, we'll just finish this up, the outer will itself has its own mixture of reasons for wanting and not wanting. It doesn't want, maybe because of laziness. It may want to learn for honor or fear of punishment. Okay, so I don't want to go to Gehenim. On the pasuk, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Aleph, that one of the questions are going to be asked in the Olam Emes is, Kavati Yitim the Torah. So maybe I'm learning because when I get up there and they ask me, did you set aside time for Torah learning? And if I say no, I'm going to be in big trouble. But as the Gemara says, that's one of the six questions. So therefore, I'm going to learn. So I have something to answer. Again, that's not lishma. Lishma is HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klai Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Klai Yisrael to learn his Torah. So maybe you're not learning because of laziness. Maybe you're not because of laziness. Maybe you want to learn for honor. Maybe you're afraid of the punishment. Each person has his own mixture of reasons, and a person must identify before he acts in midos, before he acts in actions, before he posts send, before he forwards. A person has to ask himself, which layer of myself approves of this, and which layer of myself is motivating this? Is it the nekuda sashchina, the godliness inside myself, in my neshama? Is it Ritzonela, so Ritzoncha, at which point I still have a will? Is it my will, but I'm making my will? I'm still an I. I'm an I. But I'm still doing your will. Or the outermost layer, which is the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the Amalek, the Sitra Acha, the Vayu Shabizacha, to go through Parsha Shkalem. We recognize everything material God gives us is to serve a Kosh Baruch and strengthen Torah. Parsha Zachar, we fight the satanic Yetzer Hara within. para, we undergo a process of spiritual tahara, purification. And hachodesh, we are a new person. And then we're ready for Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Geula, and Matan Torah. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll continue Bezer Hashem next week. This year is the Zeichan, the Lulunish Masos, Miriam Froh, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah, Hashalom, and Hashamish, the Gabika Bench, as well as the Froh family, Besoros Tovos, Kol Tov, and a wonderful rest of the week. Thank you so much to all.